Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
On November 1st, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, they won the Nobel Prize, you remember, triumphantly met their deadline for the removal of Syria's chemical weapons cache. But the work is not done.
There are three sites we have not been able to physically inspect. Two, however, we've been able to verify. And that means we have designated cameras that are given to Syrian personnel that have gone to verify, to demonstrate to the joint mission what is there in terms of chemical agents and to give us the information that is needed to give guidance on the correct removal to out of country as part of the overall removal of the most harmful chemical agents. There is one site we have neither been able to verify nor inspect. Inspection means physical presence. So that is still pending, but we are hopeful that ultimately we'll get there. The risks are twofold. One of them is the inability to access because the security conditions are such it is potentially in opposition-held territory, so the government can't go. And under the convention, it is the government responsibility and role to not only create access, but also to deal, to be responsible for the elimination of the chemical weapons program. Secondly, we have a number of concerns, and that applies not only to the joint mission staff, but to the humanitarian actors that are working in Syria. You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, particularly when shelling takes place. So the mission is then not targeted, but people could inadvertently become victims of shelling, mortars, grenades, that, and we happen to be in passage. So that's why we didn't take the risk, but it's under constant revision and review to make sure that we can go at the right time in order to document and record that all sites have been accessed, verified, and inspected. And for that, we have a final timeline of 30th of June, 2014.
That's Sigrid Kaag, who's head of the Joint United Nations Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons Syria team. You'll hear that whole conversation on an amazing year for the OPCW. You'll hear that conversation next week. But we wanted to discuss the details of finally disposing of the 500 tons of lethal chemicals, including nerve agents like sarin gas, disposing of them, getting them out of Syria, destroying them altogether. Thomas Moore is deputy director of the Proliferation Prevention Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thomas, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So what has to happen, and who doesn't want this stuff anywhere near them as the OPCW prepares to pack it up and get rid of it?
Well, it's not something anyone would want in their backyard, to be sure, and that's why the United States had trouble trying to find a place where we could do this on land outside of Syria. This has never been attempted before inside a war zone, let alone with any number of other constraints, such as the fact the United States won't put boots on the ground in order to go in and do it themselves. So the OPCW has the mandate, as you heard Ms. Kaag discussing. They've actually visited 22 of 23 sites. They've verified the destruction of most of the unfilled munitions. In fact, I think we're around 60% or 70% of those now. These are the things that you'd put chemical weapons in to deliver them to targets. But the most important and challenging piece of this now unfolds, and that's, of course, the fact that you've got to move the chemical weapons, mainly sarin and mustard, out of Syria. And the candidate place for this is actually international waters. It's going to be done on a ship. 500 tons of it will be packed through Syria to a port at Latakia. And from Latakia there, it'll travel on two ships, one Norwegian and one Belgian, out to an American ship. And there it will be taken care of through new technology that hasn't been used before called hydrolysis or field deployable hydrolysis units.
Now, new technology that hasn't been used before, and correct, it will be taken care of. That sounds correct, like a bit of a euphemism. Dumped overboard, and that's the end of it? I mean, it's got to be more complicated than that, right?
It's quite a bit more complicated than that. Actually, you're correct insofar as for much of our history, when countries that had chemical weapons got rid of them, that's exactly what they did. Their version of hydrolysis, water separation, water take apart, was dumping it at sea, and that's certainly not what we're going to be doing now under the auspices of the OPCW and in reaction to the Syrian crisis. No, it'll be a lot more complicated than that. In fact, the hydrolysis units are large. There'll be any number of them, maybe one or two on board this ship. There'll be a briefing later today. I understand that the Defense Department will discuss throughput and some of the other aspects. But basically what happens is you have a large reactor, not nuclear, but a chemical reactor with a reactant in it that breaks apart the components of the sarin and the mustard, turns it into industrial effluent, basically, that can then be disposed of in the same manner you dispose of things that come off of, for example, oil platforms and rigs out in the ocean. And that's, though, probably not the hardest part. The hardest part is getting it to Latakia. You have to do that along the Damascus-Aleppo highway in Syria, which is a road that runs through Homs and is heavily contested. So any number of people who you may or may not have complete knowledge of their intentions along that road will be watching large numbers of trucks transiting on their way to Latakia, and that's probably the highest risk portion of this operation.
And the low risk at sea comes from, really, and you alluded to this a moment ago, the long experience we have of doing complicated industrial operations at sea, fish processing, oil platform processing. I mean, we have ships capable of doing big jobs like this with complicated toxic chemicals.
Well, whether you are like it or not, there are a lot of ships at sea that carry toxic chemicals all the time, whether that's for oil production and deep sea mining or a variety of other things. But yes, we do have the technology. This is a unique situation. But again, I don't think that what we're going to be doing on the ship is the highest risk portion of the movement of these 500 tons of dangerous chemical weapons.
Worst case scenario along that road to Latakia?
That someone attacks one of the transshipment points or one of the trucks and takes some of the stuff and diverts it, or that the attack itself doesn't actually result in anyone taking anything but halts the effort and erodes international confidence that we can continue to undertake the mission.
I'm a opportunistic, jihadist on that road, and I grab one of these trucks. Can I sell that stuff on the open market?
You could. You'd be more likely probably to hold on to it as a bargaining chip. Remember, this is agent not inside weapons. Whether or not you could actually take it and put it into weapons is a little bit technically harder, in fact, a lot technically harder than it might sound. And for instance, you need mixing and filling equipment, which we now have destroyed in Syria. You could presumably take it to another country that may want to use it, or another group that may want to use it, however.
Well, fascinating. Fascinating stuff, and certainly a historical milestone here, the unprecedented disposal of the Syrian chemical weapons cache. Thomas Moore, thanks so much.
No problem.
Thomas Moore is Deputy Director of the Proliferation Prevention Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.